We deserve punishment for sin. We deserve God's chastening. The wages of sin is death. But it fell on Jesus instead. Jesus was punished in our place.
Well, Merry Christmas and welcome to this Christmas edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, Merry Christmas to you and to your family.
Dave, Merry Christmas to you and your family too. And I want to say a special Merry Christmas to all our listeners.
And Greg, today we wrap up our look at the coming of Christ to earth as a baby and why he had to come.
You know, Dave, the babe in a manger is wonderful and his virgin birth is miraculous, but his perfect sinless life, his dying on the cross for our sins, is the true reason why we celebrate. So today it's my prayer that you listen to this true story with a fresh appreciation for the gift of God's Son. If you have a Bible handy, I'd invite you to turn to Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 9.
It needs to be on our hearts, and then if it's on our hearts, it'll be in our tongues when the Lord opens the doors. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4. For it is impossible for the blood of bull and goats to take away sins. This is a contrast to the shadow of the Old Testament that points to the reality of the New Testament in Jesus Christ. Therefore, when he comes into the world, that's speaking of Jesus, he says, sacrifice and offering thou hast not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me. Amazing. God the Son to take on human flesh. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast taken no pleasure. Then, this is of Christ. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the roll of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. And after saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast not desired, nor hast taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do thy will. He takes away the first, that's the shadow of the first, the old covenant, in order to establish the second. By this will, the will was that Christ came to do the Father's will, to take on human flesh and to die for us. By this will, he says, we have been sanctified or set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And that was on the cross. By this, he says, and every priest stands ministering daily. They had, back at this time, the temple had not been destroyed yet. And offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Religious ritual never takes away sin. The shadows never took away sin. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting for from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool at his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. God took on human flesh to come, as we'll see, to die for our sins. Tremendous humility. Tremendous humility. Another Christmas passage, and we've seen it before. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. It is so easy to get caught up in this life and in stuff, and even during Christmas, to get caught up in the stuff that we need to do, we think, to focus on Christ. We have the good news. How blessed are those, the feet of those who bring good news. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Have this attitude which was also in Christ Jesus. This is the attitude that we should have as believers. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man. Now notice his humility. Certainly he humbled himself to become a man, but notice his humility is in his obedience. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And on a side note, are you willing to be like him or to have this attitude? Are you willing to humble yourself by obeying God? It's pride that gets in the way. We think our ways are better. Are you willing to humble yourself? And he says here, therefore, to be obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, verse 9. Therefore also God highly exalted upon him, exalted him, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those who are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Have you ever really pondered what Christ has done? The message of Christmas is about Jesus Christ. It's revealed in the Word of God. It's received by faith. It's about His humanity and His humility. But it's not only about that. It is also about His rejection, or more better said, the rejection of Him. Back to Isaiah 53, verse 3. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hid their face. He was despised, and we did not esteem Him. An amazing statement. God in human flesh, despised and forsaken of men. We see throughout the Gospels men rejecting Jesus and forsaking Him, even betraying Him. And although He was sinless, man's sin did affect Him. We see this in the middle of verse 3. We see a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We see throughout the Gospels Jesus grieving over death, unbelief, man's sin, and Israel's outright rejection of Him. He came to His own, but they didn't receive Him. They didn't receive Him. We see in 1 Peter 2:24 that He bore, 1 Peter 2:4, excuse me, that coming to Him as a living stone, rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God. And this leads to the question, why would God the Son, who was in His glory, continually worshipped by angels, why would He leave His glory to come into this fallen, sin-cursed creation, yet without sin? Why would He come and experience the sorrows and grief of sinful man upon Him? Why would He do that? Why would He do that? Well, it gets worse. Look at verse 3. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hid their face. Oh, you think it's bad right now for you? Nothing like what Jesus went through. God in human flesh, the Creator of the universe, who created all things, like one from men who hid their face. Despise speaks of not esteeming Him, not thinking about Him, treating of no value. Maybe some of you do that right now. Jesus is really of no value to you, practically speaking, on a daily basis. Oh, you come to church. Oh, you do the religious things. But truly, the person of Christ is of little value in your life and your daily thinking. He was despised, and we did not esteem Him or literally think of Him. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We see this. And He was like from one whom men hid their face. Why would they hide their face? It gets worse. Notice they rejected Him, and ultimately it led to His crucifixion. Look at verse 4. Surely our griefs He Himself bore, and our sorrows He carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed Him smitten, stricken of God, and afflicted. Isaiah states that He bore the griefs and He carried our sorrows here. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. This speaks of sickness and pain and agony associated with sin in the fallen creation. You say, where do we see that? Turn to Matthew chapter 8. I want to show you this. Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. This is fulfilled here. We see it fulfilled. And when Jesus had come into Peter's home, He saw his mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever. And He touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and washed and waited on Him. And when evening had come, they brought to Him many who were demon-possessed. And He cast out the spirits with a word, and He healed all who were ill, in order that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, He took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. He manifests His power and His deity in His humanity by healing the diseases and sickness. It says, surely He Himself, our griefs He Himself bore, our sorrows He carried, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And then notice at the end of verse 12 back in Isaiah 53, this ultimately points to what He would do. Yet He Himself bore the sins of many. Yes, he bore our griefs and our sorrows he carried, but that ultimately points to what he would do in taking away sin. We see this in 1 Peter 2:24, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds we were healed. So yet, look at Israel's response, the end of verse 4. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. They saw the things that he did. But they esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. They reckoned that he was being punished by God. Israel didn't understand. Do you understand? Do you understand? Jesus came to die, as we will see, suffering and bearing your sin. Israel didn't get it. They didn't understand. And why didn't understand? They didn't believe the message. How about you? Do you get it? Or have you counted Christ as nothing? Yet it gets worse. Not only did they not esteem him, they crucified him. Verse 5. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The term pierced through speaks of a piercing wound that is fatal. And it was for our transgressions. It's for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Pierced through and crushed because of our sin, yours and mine. Here Isaiah would share what would happen to Jesus 700 years later on the Roman cross as he would die for our sins. So why would God the Son, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, worshipped by angels in his heavenly glory, allow himself to be mistreated by his very creation, to be despised, forsaken, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, one from whom men hid their face? Why would he allow himself to be pierced through for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities? Why? Because of our sin. Isaiah shares this in Isaiah 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not too short that it cannot save, nor his ear so dull that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. God has made it clear that sin separates us from him. And not only are we separated from him, the wages of sin is death. And we have a problem. Romans chapter 3, there is none righteous, not even one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. Do you realize that Jesus came to die for your sins? Now, why would he need to die for our sins? Very simply, he died in our place to deliver us from God's judgment. Deliver us from sin and judgment. Look back in Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening, that's punishment. For our well-being, the term well-being means peace, shalom, for our peace, fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed. We deserve punishment for sin. We deserve God's chastening. The wages of sin is death. But it fell on Jesus instead. Jesus was punished in our place. He received that for our well-being, our peace. You see, later Isaiah would share in 57 verse 21, there's no peace, says my God, for the wicked. There's no peace for you who are in your sins. No peace with God. But when our sin is taken out of the way through faith in Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. Romans 5:1, therefore having been justified by faith, and that's in Jesus Christ, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ is our peace. Ephesians 2:14. And in the end of verse 5, back in Isaiah, and by his scourging we are healed. Those are his stripes, his wounding, his bruising that culminated in his death for sin. Again, we see this in 1 Peter 2:24. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds we are healed. You see, everyone has a sin sickness. We all have fallen short. We've all sinned. And if you're a child, you know you've sinned because God says obey your parents, and you know you haven't done that. For all of us, we have all sinned. And God must punish sin, and the wages of sin is death. But God sent his Son instead. And he took God's punishment in our place. And he died for us, bearing our sin, and he rose from the dead. He took our punishment. He took our punishment. And by that act, when we trust in him, we are healed of our sins. He died for us. Look back in our passage. I'll come back to verse 6 in a minute, but look at verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. We know he didn't revile or turn or utter any threats, right? Like a lamb that was led to slaughter. And this is the passage that the eunuch was reading, right? He was like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation who considered that he was cut off from the land of the living for the transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due. But Jesus physically died. He died on the cross. Look down at verse 9. His grave, graves are for dead people. His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Jesus died for our sins. Now we know he rose, but he died for our sins. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God died for us. And then look down at verse 12. Therefore I will allot him the portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. So what's Christmas about? It's about Jesus. And the message about Jesus is received by faith. It's about his humanity, his humility. It's about his sorrow, his grief, the rejection of him, his sacrificial suffering and death for our sins. That's what it's about. But why would God do all this for us? Why would he do this for us? Why would he be pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities? Why would he die for us? Now back to verse 6. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Again, the wages of sin is death, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Each of us has gone his own way. We've strayed going our own way, every single one. For any of you here today who've not truly trusted in Christ, you're living in rebellion towards God. You've gone your own way. You've strayed. You live as the Lord of your life. This is the human condition. No fear of God. No fear of God before their eyes. Men in rebellion, not in submission and obedience. And what was God's response to sinful man going their own way? What was God's response to our wickedness to turn away from God, to walk our own way? Was it to wipe out everybody? No. Was it to pour out his wrath on you? No. What was God's response? All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. That's God's response, a loving response to man's sin, to your sin and my sin. He caused all of our sin to go on Jesus Christ. He paid the full price. John puts it this way in 1 John 2:2. He himself is the propitiation for our sins, the satisfaction. And not only for ours, but for the whole world. Jesus' death on the cross satisfied God's wrath. God caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Titus shares it this way. For we were all once foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us. So why would God do this? Why would God the Son, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, in his heavenly glory, leave that to be mistreated by his own creation, to be a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, one from whom men hid their face, pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities? Why would he die for us? Loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God demonstrates his love for us, or towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loves us so much that he manifests that love by sending his only Son to die in our place. And what an affront it is for us to try to work our way to heaven or to try to do things other than trusting in that Son, trusting in Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:9, by this the love of God was manifest in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the satisfaction, or propitiation for our sins. He went through everything for us. So why Christmas? Because we're sinners. Because we've all strayed. But yet God is gracious, and he sent his Son, and he willingly came, and he became like us. He took on human flesh, lived the perfect life, and he went to the cross and bore our sins in his body on the cross. And he died, and he rose from the dead. So what should be our response to the birth and ultimately the reason for why he came? What should be our response? Let's close with Luke chapter 2. Let's turn there again, Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and I want to start in verse 6. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And then in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased." Then verse 15. And it came about while the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight away to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which they had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told by them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. We should be leaving here glorifying and praising God for all we have been told today about Jesus. What a wonderful God we have. And my prayer is that we don't think lightly of him. And if you don't know him, that you will believe the message. You'll believe the message that you need a Savior and that God took on human flesh, that you will call out to him personally. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And for those of us who have, that we would be glorifying and praising God for what he has done through his Son.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's Christmas broadcast, give us a takeaway from our time together.
You know, Dave, the takeaway from today's message is this. If you're a true believer, spend some time today in worship and thanksgiving for all that Christ has done for you, for willingly coming to earth, becoming a man, that he might take on your sin and mine and bring the forgiveness of sins through his death on the cross. That's the meaning of Christmas, and that's worth celebrating
not just on Christmas, but every day throughout the year.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.